Welcome to Keeping It Cool, your dose of optimism in the face of climate change. This is our first episode ever, and it's going to be an introductory episode to the podcast, so it's going to be a little shorter than the typical episodes, and I'm just going to provide a little bit of background about why I'm producing this podcast, who I am, the format of the podcast, and what you can expect. So I'm your host, Lena, and I'm so excited to take you on this journey where we explore the innovations that are shaping the future of our planet. So to kind of set the stage, it is currently February 2025 when I'm recording this, and the urgency of addressing climate change has never been clearer. January 2025 was the warmest January globally ever, with temperatures 1.75 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. We're seeing extreme weather events increase across the globe, with rising sea levels, longer droughts, and more frequent wildfires becoming the new normal as a result of this global heating. And the human costs of extreme weather events, as well as the financial costs, are growing rapidly, which underscores the urgency for action here. So I pulled up this Time magazine article to kind of set the US context as well. And you can read this article, I'll link it in the description of this podcast episode, but it's just an overview of all of Trump's major moves to dismantle climate action since he took office last month. This article provides kind of a US perspective of where we're at in February 2025. The main thing that Trump has done in terms of climate since taking office is withdrawing from the Paris Agreement. So the pact, which was signed by nearly 200 countries in 2015, aimed to curb long-term global warming. President Trump has withdrawn from this agreement for the second time. He did this as well in his first time in office. He is also trying to evaluate the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to see if he could possibly get rid of it, which would impact the country's ability to recover from extreme weather events that, as mentioned before, are becoming more intense and frequent due to climate change. The Trump administration is also ramping up oil and gas production. He has a, quote, drill baby drill approach that is meant to lower energy prices and increase the supply of fossil fuels. However, the country's oil and gas production is already at record highs under the Biden administration. Increasing the U.S. dependence on fossil fuels means that more carbon dioxide will be released into the atmosphere and our planet will continue to warm. This is why a lot of the work of the Paris Agreement is to move to other sources of energy, like renewable energy, nuclear, and we're kind of going to get into this in future episodes of the podcast, but kind of an important thing to keep in mind. The Trump administration has also proposed sweeping cuts to many federal agencies, including the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And the last thing here in this article, besides banning paper straws, is pausing electric vehicle adoption. So the Trump administration froze roughly $3 billion in funding that was allocated to expand the network of electric vehicle charging stations across the country. And we'll also get more into electric vehicles, why they're important, what companies are working on those in future episodes. So that's kind of setting the scene here. It's definitely a tumultuous time in the US and globally when it comes to climate change. But I do think the news as we read it really focuses on a lot of the negative things that are happening in the world of climate and climate innovation. And don't get me wrong, all of these things, you know, are weakening our ability to stop the warming of our planet, to reduce the frequency of these natural disasters that are happening. But I think there are a lot of really positive and inspirational stories when it comes to making a difference, when it comes to innovating within climate. And there's also a lot of work at the local, state, and global level to advance a lot of climate action. And this is what I want to focus on in this podcast. This podcast is all about highlighting the incredible innovations and solutions that are already out there making a difference. So we're going to dive into carbon capture, investing, sustainable farming, clean energy, to show you that there's real progress happening in the field of climate change. It's so easy to read these articles, like the Time magazine article that I quoted, that can make you feel overwhelmed and hopeless when it comes to climate change. But my mission here is to move the conversation from fear to action and from doom to possibility. So you're probably wondering, who am I? Why am I doing this podcast? Right now, I'm an MBA candidate at NYU, New York University, and I've spent the past few years working in the climate space, trying to find ways to make a real impact. So before coming to NYU, I worked as a software engineer at a climate tech startup. We worked on developing tools to help identify the best locations for renewable energy development, and that was kind of my foray into the climate space. I really liked working on energy, specifically renewable energy. I think it's such an interesting topic, and it's an industry that has, of course, been around for decades and decades, but this industry is completely changing, and it's such an interesting place to be, especially as a young person, especially as someone who's really interested in climate and climate action. So I might do a separate episode just about energy because it's what I'm really interested in. But I've enjoyed my time at NYU, and I've really gotten to have different experiences working on all different facets of climate. So over the summer, I worked with the New York City Economic Development Corporation, thinking about decarbonizing New York's public building portfolio. So think public schools, airports. I also did an in-semester internship with the New York State Insurance Fund, where I helped them reallocate some of their assets in fossil fuels to renewable energy. So thinking about short and long-term investments in climate technology that made sense for an institutional investor. This was super interesting. And I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to consider climate impact. And financial is definitely one of the ways that is important because a lot of this technology is not going to be developed if there's not a good funding mechanism for it. So that was a really interesting perspective. I've also worked with a sustainable fashion startup. So a startup that is using AI to understand risks in the supply chain for garments that are being produced. I think fashion is a big industry as well, where there's a lot of innovation happening and a lot of room for change, especially as younger generations are moving more and more toward buying secondhand. It will be really interesting to see how this market evolves. I'm also currently working with another startup, so kind of seeing a theme here of startups in the climate space. This startup is working on bringing renewable energy solutions to the African market. We're focusing on Nigeria specifically for what I'm working on. And so just thinking about how energy works in other countries besides the US, I think it can be really easy to get kind of wrapped up in the US climate perspective, especially if you're based here. There's a lot of room for innovation and growth in solutions around the world. And we have a lot of existing technology, especially when it comes to energy, that is really suitable for a lot of locations. Like when I think about Nigeria and solar, like there's a huge market for energy there and renewable energy, solar energy. So thinking outside of the context that you live in, I think is also a good way to consider how climate innovation is happening. And then, of course, right now, I also work with the NYU Center for Sustainable Business on their New York City Sustainable Development Goals Initiative. So if you're not familiar with the Sustainable Development Goals, these are goals set out by the United Nations to advance sustainability across the world. And so we're kind of looking at how to implement them on a New York City level. So I've worked a lot with decarbonizing buildings and building portfolios for New York City. And we actually just published a white paper about this topic, which I will also link in the description, which is a shameless plug. So if you want to read all about mortgage lending, green mortgages, and ways that banks can support decarbonization of buildings, which if you didn't know, in New York City, buildings make up, I believe it's more than 70% of the carbon emissions that are created in New York City just because, you know, there are so many buildings in New York and a lot of people don't have cars. So transportation is a much lower percentage of the pie in terms of carbon emissions in New York City. So it's a really important topic, especially in major cities. And we were kind of thinking through different funding mechanisms that banks could have so that people who own these buildings can make necessary improvements to lower the carbon emissions of their buildings. So it's a big topic. Maybe we'll do an episode about that. Maybe I'll bring in someone from my research group to talk about that. But yeah, that's a little bit more about me. Hopefully that wasn't too much of a resume read. I feel fortunate that I've had all of these experiences and opportunities to kind of work on innovations in the climate space. And I've noticed that so many of my peers, my parents are feeling anxious and even resigned about the future of our planet, which makes sense given the news that's coming out. But I kind of want to show through this podcast that there is hope, there is action that people can take. Every job can be a climate job if you want it to be, and there's so much innovation that is already happening. So to kind of pivot a little bit, you might be thinking, why focus on innovation? Well, I think innovation is the key to solving climate change. If you think about something like solar energy, we've been making that technology better and better and better over the course of a decade, and now solar energy is cheaper than traditional fossil fuels. Every day, brilliant minds are coming up with new ways to address this crisis. And these aren't just small changes, they're game changers. So these solutions, I believe, are the reason we should still feel optimistic. They're being developed and implemented, they're working, and innovation is really the silver lining in the fight against climate change. So in terms of the format for this podcast, each episode, with the exception of one or two here or there, if I want to do, you know, a deep dive into a particular topic that I'm personally interested in, I'm going to be bringing on a guest that is working on a specific climate innovation or solution. And I'm going to try to analyze these innovations through the diffusion of innovations theory by Everett Rogers. So if you're not familiar with this theory, it looks at how, why, and at what rate new ideas and technology spread. And I think this is particularly important when you're thinking about new innovations in the climate space, because you need to develop things that are going to spread at a rapid rate, that are going to have the impact that you want it to have. So briefly, the five factors that Everett Rogers considers when thinking about innovation is relative advantage, so the perceived superiority of an innovation over existing options, compatibility, which is how it works with people's values or the technology that they already have in their lives, complexity, which is the perceived difficulty of understanding or using an innovation. So if you think about something like electric vehicles, I think there is an added complexity there for individuals buying electric vehicles because it's different from a previous car. It might not be compatible with what they've had in the past, and it's something new to learn. Trialability is the fourth factor. So this is the extent to which someone can try out a new piece of technology before committing to it. And observability. This is one of the factors that is related to how fast an innovation is adopted. But if you see other people using some kind of technology, you might be more keen to use it yourself. So we're going to have some amazing guests on the show, and you should definitely reach out to them if you are interested in the things that they say. Our first guest is going to be the founder and CEO of a crowdfunding app for investing in climate solutions. So that's super relevant for people who care about climate tech and want to be more involved in it with their own financial investments. We're going to have people that work at nonprofits like Project Drawdown on this show. We're going to have venture investors who invest in different forms of climate technology, and we're going to think about what they look for in terms of investments. So there's going to be a lot of different people on this show. I'm excited for everybody to hear what they have to say. Hopefully become inspired. This podcast isn't just for climate experts or scientists. In fact, it's probably not for climate experts or scientists. It's just about anyone who cares about the future of our planet. If you're a student, a business owner, an investor, or someone who's just passionate, I believe that there's something here for you. And I'd especially encourage all listeners to listen to the podcast episode with Ayana Bodhi from Project Drawdown, because I think she does a really good job articulating a thesis that, you know, I kind of sprinkled in earlier in this episode, which is just that every job is a climate job. So no matter what you're doing, no matter your role, what you work on, you have the power to think about your role in society, your employment, as something that impacts the climate. So if you're ready to dive into the world of climate innovation with me, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. I promise you won't want to miss an episode. We have an incredible lineup of guests, and I can't wait to share their stories with you. You should share this podcast with other people that might be interested in these topics, people who are feeling down and outs about the state of the world, would love to inject some positivity into their lives. If you think that you would be a good feature on this podcast, please drop me a line. My contact information will be in the description of this episode, or if you have feedback, would love to hear it. So please don't hesitate to reach out, leave a 5-star review, share with your friends. Okay, that's enough. Let's kick off our next episode.